Blog Talk Radio.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds are talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz, your place for all things smooth. Artist.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello there.
Boney James, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Layla, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Music.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
With the smoothest show on internet radio, your hosts, the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds.
Hello and welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz. This is the Jazz Queen. Happy holidays, everyone. Mike, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, sir. Doing great. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. And we have our guest on the phone, Mr. Gerald Damian. Gerald, how are you? Gerald? Hello?
I think we might have lost him for a minute.
All right. Well, we'll just wait for him to call in. I do have someone on the phone. Area code 757. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hey, Terry. It's Cheryl.
Oh, hey, Cheryl. How are you?
I'm good. I'm on the road, so I figured I'd call in.
Oh, well, thank you. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, you just going to hang on there for a little while?
Yeah, I will.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for calling in, Cheryl. All right.
Well,
we're waiting on Mr. Gerald Damian to call in, so hopefully we will hear from him in a few minutes. Mike, I know that you went out last night to a concert. Tell me about that.
Yeah, the concert was a nice concert. It was at a place out here in Reisterstown, Maryland. It was called Micho's 35 Soundstage, and it was Eric Moner, saxophonist Eric Moner, with guitarist Ron Thompson, and David Dyson was on the bass. It was a very nice venue, like I said, very nice town. I really enjoyed myself. Like I said, Eric Moner was very good, and like I said, and also Drew Davison, guitarist Drew Davison was also in the house to watch the show, and like I said, it was a very good show. Like I said, I'd like to send a shout-out to Mark Towles for, having such a good show out there this past Saturday night. So if you guys want to go out there, check it out. Micho's 35 Soundstage is in Reisterstown, Maryland.
Okay. And also, Marcus Anderson is performing at Blues Alley tomorrow night as well. Now, is that like a standing room only place?
No. Blues Alley is a sit-down spot. Has a nice seating area and a nice bar area. Like I said, it's a cozy little spot, but like I say it's been around for a long time.
Okay. All right. Well, I think what I'm going to do is play one of Gerald's songs. He is a jazz violinist, and I have been a fan of his since I heard his debut album, Thinking of You. This album was 1997's best contemporary jazz album, and he did a cover of Kool & the Gang's Summer Madness, which was it was a hit for the album, but it's an awesome song done by on a violin. So I'm going to play a song from the CD called You Make Me Feel Brand New, and this is Gerald Damian from the Thinking of You CD. All right. That was You Make Me Feel Brand New from Gerald Damian's Thinking of You CD. And it appears that there may be a problem with Gerald trying to call in. Mike just told me that he had a problem calling in as well. So I did call him and left a couple of messages. Hopefully he'll be able to get through. Not sure what's going on here with the phone lines. Mike, how many times did you have to call in?
Just three times, like I said. But like I said, you know, just three times. But that's about it. But that's normally how it happens, you know, on a daily basis with you know, Blog Talk Radio and their systems. But like I said, it's, you know, I know Gerald was probably calling. I talked to him, chatted with him the day earlier on Facebook, so he should be calling in any second. So. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, you know, good plans, you know, they say about plans, good plans going awry. All right, well, let's listen to another song. This is, I'm going to play the Summer Madness song, because this is really the hit from the CD, Kool & the Gang's cover, his cover of Kool & the Gang's Summer Madness.
I didn't get through. I'm like, what's up with that?
All right, that was the smash hit Summer Madness from Gerald Damian's Thinking of You CD, his debut CD. And we have Gerald on the phone.
You got me?
As soon as I can bring him, he's coming. Hey, Gerald, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Welcome to the show. We're so happy to have you on.
Well, it's a pleasure and an honor. And, you know, I've heard good things about the format in your show, and I'm just excited to be a part of it.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. Before you came on, I was saying that I have been a fan of your music since I heard the Thinking of You CD. And I first heard about it when I was living in Atlanta, just getting into the jazz music there. And I was doing my shopping for jazz CDs on this website called BMG Music Club.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw your CD, and I thought, a jazz violinist, this got to be an interesting CD. So I bought it, and I fell in love with it. And I have been, like I said, been a fan ever since.
Well, that's a beautiful thing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Now, of all of the instruments to play, what was it about the violin that interested you?
Well, it's a funny kind of thing how I started playing the violin. I was 12 grades ahead of my English class in elementary school. So instead of sending me to English, I went to music, and I didn't have to take English until, like, my last year of high school.
Mm.
So they were quite supportive of the talents I had in other areas. And you know, so they stuck me somewhere, and the music mm-hmm. just happened to be where they put me.
Wow.
And so of all of the instruments, you chose the violin to play.
Oh, well, no, that's all they had. It was
oh.
a choice. The violin chose me. Actually, the funny thing about it is I started out with the cello. This is a funny story. I was a safety boy third grade. And we would be on post, and I had this big, huge cello. And my buddies and I was kind of a smaller guy than I am right now. We would be carrying the cello through the neighborhood like pallbearers, carrying a casket. It was funny. I'd be at the front end, and my other buddy, he'd be at the back, and we'd put the little spigot out that would hold the cello up. And I just went on. I went back to school next day. I was like, oh, man, this is just not going to work. So I told the teacher, I said, hey, can I play the violin? Because the cello is just too big for me to carry. And so that's how I ended up on the violin. I guess it kind of chose me.
Wow. Now, Joe, let me ask you, playing a non-traditional instrument like the violin and the smooth jazz, does that present any challenges for you as far as getting gigs or getting signed to a label or, you know, things like that?
Well, actually, you know, well, I think first, even playing the violin and being young African-American male playing the violin, that was just non-traditional in itself.
Okay.
Being in Detroit, growing up in Detroit, they had the Detroit Symphony, and it was predominantly orchestra that consisted of no African-Americans whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And what I ended up doing is I practiced, I studied, and eventually began to study with the assistant concertmaster of that orchestra. And he brought my playing to such a level where that I began to play with the orchestra. But, you know, at that time, they did have one member who was there. I mean, and things were pretty tight back then. I mean, you know, they made us sit in the back of the section. You know, it was a lot to deal with as a 13, 14-year-old. At that time, I mean, those kind of things I was reading about in my history books. I mean, you know, I guess in a sense it was like I was riding in the back of the bus. So
sure.
I decided that, you know what, that's it. I can't sit in the back anymore. And I stepped out and hooked up with Donald Walden and his Detroit Jazz Orchestra. He had a string section. And we sat up front. It was kind of cool. We played music that they wrote and composed, and I was like, hey, this is really cool and it's hip, and it's something I don't know, and it was a growing and a learning experience, so I stuck with it, and I said, you know, I could do something with this. And when we were I would play with this chamber orchestra at a church, and we would do Handel's Messiah. And from playing with the jazz orchestra, Donald Walden's jazz orchestra, I would kind of improvise over Handel's Messiah. And I was like, you know what? I can do something with this. And so then I took it further, and, you know, growing up listening to Prince and Patti LaBelle and just traditional jazz, Duke Ellington and Count Basie, and then you throw in me growing up in Detroit and the exposure and influence of Motown, that's when I decided I can take this instrument and play some commercial music and then play some people like. So when I started playing it, everybody embraced it. No one ever said, hey, we don't like it. They were like, wow, what is that?
It's different.
How are you doing it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I still get that response today. I mean, I've got a new CD called JDR&B, and whereas we're talking about a younger audience, we're talking about a strictly urban audience, and they're like, whoa, we've never heard a violin presented like this, a play like this. I like the violin now. So I'm trying to do that more often now.
Yeah. And you know, Joe, just like Terry, you were the first person that I heard play the electric violin, what they say, electric violin. I guess now it brings out, and I see guys and women following what I thought you were the first one doing. Now we have Ken Ford, Karen Briggs, and I know at one time I had seen you, like back in 1985, I then got witness to a young lady named Regina Carter, too. So I think that you were the first person in my mind that I think it really started the movement of playing, you know, urban sounds with the electric violin.
Mm-hmm.
I got to give credit to Noel Buena. He was a phenomenal violinist. And I don't know if you know, a lot of people know Noel's music, and, you know, we need to hear more of Noel Buena's music. And Jean-Luc Ponte was around the same time. And these guys, I grew up listening to both of these guys. You know, Jean-Luc, more fusion. No pointer, a little bit more fused, more kind of I wouldn't say R&B, but his flavor was definitely more lyrical, but his song selection lent itself to more urban music. Like, I think he did a Living for the City on the violin, and you had something that had a little bit more soul in Noel's music, where Jean-Luc Ponte is a pure technician, and fusion, a lot of notes and what have not, which is dynamite. But then what really touches people is the soul, and that's what I think really stood out to me in Noel's playing. But there was another guy who touched me who was playing music at the same time Luc Ponte and Noel was playing, and he was very urban, and his name was Michael Urbaniak, a Polish gentleman. He had a major influence on what I was doing, because Urbaniak was, he was like Luc Ponte, but he was funky. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Everybody's from Detroit. The funkiest people come from Detroit. Funk comes from Detroit. George Clinton, you know. So I was like, you know what? If there's somebody going to be funky with it, it's definitely going to be me. And I felt good about that. Now, Regina, you know, you mentioned her, and she's a great player. She was actually playing in Donald Walden's Jazz Orchestra when I was there. She's just 8 years my senior, and Ken's a great player too. Ken, I like what Ken does too. I mean, you know, but they bring their own thing. I think for me, I think with me doing the Cool and the Gang song, Summer Madness, and doing something that was already an urban radio hit back when it was out, it made it easier for people to grasp.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I stay there with the urban. I don't really try and I can do the traditional. I can pretty much play any type of music. I choose to stay where the people who have supported me.
Yeah.
All right.
I was going to ask you real fast. You were actually trained classically too, right? By a Czechoslovakian gentleman by the name of Makolia.
Peter Michalikia.
Okay.
I studied with Morris Hochberg. He was assistant concertmaster at DSO, and he was the principal second of the Cleveland Orchestra. as well, which is Cleveland Orchestra is a top-notch orchestra, first class, world class. And then I studied with Isaac Stern as well, which is renowned concert artist, American concert artist. And Peter, Mr. Michalixia, the best way to describe my experience and my time and tenure with him, and I ended up with him because I wanted to take driver's training. So
driver's training? Over,
yeah, you got to have a license in Detroit. You know, it's more time. You got to have some wheels. And at 16, you know, I'm in high school. I went to Cass Tech. Cass Tech was all the way downtown. I lived all the way uptown. So it was like an hour-and-a-half bus ride in the summer and like a two-and-a-half-hour bus ride in the winter every morning just to get to school and home. I studied with Peter, and Peter really, he weighed me down with a lot of material. I mean, so I was able to really get a lot of music under my fingers that I think most people under normal circumstances of learning the violin would not have. I mean, I was studying like 12 pieces at a time, which when I got back to Dr. Hochberg, he was kind of perturbed by it. Because he said, well, this is just too much material. And he sat down at that point and asked me to play everything. But when he saw that I had command of the instrument and command of the material, he was like, well, he felt that the time I did spend with him was probably very well spent. Now, the flip side of that is Mr. Michalixia, Peter Michalixia, taught me a lot about putting yourself into what you play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I play a note now. If it's a long note, it's a short note, I'm going to make sure that you feel 200% of me come through the instrument where it reaches you. You really feel that I'm feeling it.
And I have seen, last night I watched one of your videos on your Facebook page of you playing the violin. And it's, I mean, I'm telling you, bad, man. You are bad.
You're making me blush. You're making me blush.
You are bad.
I mean, we've got a lot of concert footage that we're about. I'm about to beat YouTube up and every video format to really show everybody that, you know, I really do own this violin. I own it. And with the new product, I sent you guys some things out to Gerald Damian Vault, the Keisha Cole record. That's not even available to the public yet.
Oh, wow.
Which I know you guys were probably surprised when you got that.
Let me just interrupt for a quick minute. I have a phone call that I want to take. And if you want to talk to Gerald, if you have a question, please call 646-716-5485. Cheryl, go ahead with your question.
Okay, thanks, Terry. Hey, Gerald, how are you doing?
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good. Hey, listen, I know you recently played down at a homecoming down in North Carolina, correct?
That's correct.
Now, how was that playing there with college students? I mean, because that's not really an age where they're embracing jazz at all anyway. And then to be a violinist playing jazz on top of it, how did that work out?
Well, we got down there. That was my first time ever going to the A&T homecoming, and I've heard so much about what they do down there and the whole purpose of it and the spirit of Aggie pride. Having gone to University of Michigan, you don't really get that experience that you would normally get going to a HBC. But we got down there, and the first impression, it was kind of interesting, because the way I ran the set is we had the DJ going, and then I'm running this new, what I call the R&B set. The R&B set is basically with the DJ in tandem with me presenting urban music. So when I got down there, we've got new versions of a lot of the R&B hits, and I gave it such a treatment where the whole time I was playing, they were dancing. And so they didn't really feel like that nothing was different. It was like, well, this guy is playing the violin on it, which was the only thing different. But they're like, well, hey, it works for me. As long as they kept dancing, they were satisfied.
They enjoyed it, yeah.
With the age demographic, it just fell right into place. I mean, the young people, they love it. I mean, they love what I'm doing.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, Cheryl.
Yes.
Do you have any other questions?
Let's see. You said you started out in elementary school with the violin. Don't they usually start you off with the viola? Or is that just not available?
Well, you know, usually they start you with the violin.
Oh, really? My daughter played. She did just the opposite. She started off with the viola and then went to violin.
You know, I've heard that at a couple with a couple friends of mine who have young children who are studying, and the viola is like a bigger violin for those who don't know. It has a C, G, D, and A string. Where with the violin you have the G, D, A, and then you have an upper string, which is an E string. So the viola, in terms of its placement, would be considered the alto instrument, and the violin would be considered soprano. So with the viola being such a bigger instrument, with the young people, I think it would always make better sense for them to play an instrument that's smaller. But I have heard that, you know, that they should start on the violin, but I think every violinist should be able to play viola.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Cheryl.
You're welcome, Terry.
All right, Cheryl.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, yeah, I think that, like I said earlier, when I saw that there was a jazz violinist, I thought it was really interesting because you just, you know, at that time, you just didn't hear that or see that in music, let alone jazz music. So what type of challenges did you have in terms of, and Mike may have already asked part of this question, in terms of how did GRP Records find you? Let me put it that way.
What GRP Records found me, when I did the Thinking About You record, I produced the record myself and distributed the record myself.
Okay.
And there was one person who was very instrumental, probably single-handedly, I would say, introduced the world to Gerald Damon. Because there's always one person that you would say went that extra mile. And a very close, dear friend of mine, she passed away a few years back. Her name was Brandy Sharif. And she lived in Chicago, and at that time she was working with Amtrak. And I did an engagement with Amtrak, and then that's when I met Brandy. And I gave her one of my CDs. She said, well, I really like your music, and I think the people in Chicago, they would love it because you can step to this. I didn't know what stepping was. I had no idea. So she took it back to Chicago and took it to this gentleman who was a phenomenal man himself. And between him and her, they kicked off my whole career. This gentleman named Herb Kent. He's been inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame. I think he's been just inducted into the Guinness Book of World Records for the longest DJ on the radio, the longest ever. And he's over at WVAZ in Chicago at V103, the urban station. And so Herb put it on at his set. And she kept bugging. She went every day, kept bugging every time she would go out there. And so he finally said, okay, what is it? So he puts it on. And he's like, whoa, what is this? He's like, and everybody in the place, I mean, we're talking about a place that probably has about 400 or 500 people, and they're dancing, they're stepping. For those who are new to that term, R. Kelly kind of even extended his reach. With this song, yep. Step in the Name of Love. So if you've seen this video, you actually know what they do with the stepping looks like. Mm-hmm. So once everybody it caught on, then next thing you know, the radio station's playing it, and they're like, hey, we need you to come to Chicago and perform this music. So that kicked it off. We went from basically, you know, sending music all over the country, just like you do the old-fashioned way. Now you can do it digitally. You know, going to the post office, FedEx, shipping thousands of CDs this way, you know, and then GRP got on it, Universal. GRP is the version of Universal Records, and we had Jive Records interested. It was several labels interested in signing me at that time. And, you know, we went with GRP because they had George Benson over there, and they had some reasons for me to be there, which at the time, it made sense. And I got to honestly say this because I got to be really honest and true to the nature of me and my music. At the time, it made sense. I mean, but at the same time, Summer Madness, for all intents and purposes, was an urban record. I mean, it was a record that was getting played on your urban adult contemporary stations and your UC stations. So, I mean, you were hearing on, like, if you were in D.C., you were hearing on HUR. If you were in New York, you were hearing on WBLS. If you were in Chicago, you were hearing on GCI and MV103, Houston Magic 102. So it was, the jazz stations weren't really embracing it. They were like, it's too urban.
And interesting.
At that time, what started, I think, at that time, it set a precedent that if you wanted to reach a wider audience, that maybe you had to kind of give it a little bit different treatment. And now you see a lot of the, what I would say, smooth jazz artists, the notables, I guess it would be a Boney James and the Rick Bronze, that they've got a little bit more kick and bump on the music, that they're, you know, they're turning up the bass a little bit, turning up the kick drum, and you're hearing more of an urban sound. Eventually, the smooth jazz stations got on the record, but I think it was more so out of default that, hey, this guy is burning up the BDS and getting all these sales, and we have no association affiliation with him. And it's unusual that it actually literally stayed that way. I can honestly say I have never done an appearance on a concert that I can recall offhand, maybe one or two stations, jazz stations, where they say, hey, we want you to come in and do a concert.
Wow.
It's unusual. Mm. When you say those challenges, this was a challenge because, yes, I was playing the violin. And,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
Smooth jazz was about Kenny G.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know. At that time, and you know, well, now the format literally is I don't know, it's RIP, resting in peace. I mean, and I'm glad you guys are here now to give people what they're, a lot of them are not receiving now. I mean, because I think that format disappeared in Detroit, Chicago, D.C.,
yeah.
York, mm-hmm. It's gone.
Yeah,
but you guys are keeping it alive, and I think that's a beautiful thing. I mean, what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
Thank you. And the only time I hear Summer Madness is on XM Radio, and the first time I heard it on XM Radio, I was really surprised that they were playing it. But now it gets a lot of airplay, and even though you know it came out in what mid '90s,
late '95. Early 96.
Yeah, I have not heard it on the jazz station here at all. And XM Radio is only radio station that I have heard Summer Madness played on. And I every time I hear it, I say kudos to you for playing this man's music. Because
you have to give that acknowledgement to another person, I think, and he's there, Max Myrick.
Oh, okay.
He was the program director at V103 in Chicago. So he was a part of the Summer Madness machinery, too.
Okay.
You know, you're hearing things because he, you know, he's not afraid to go on something that he thinks people will like, just like you guys are.
And, you know, Gerald, I was telling Terry, you know, you're thinking of UCD. Like I said, that was played a whole lot down here in the D.C. area by WHUR, which is the Howard University station. And also, you had another CD out come after that. I think it was J.D.'s Revenge.
The Gerald and Damon
Group. Okay, the Gerald Damon Group, which I think one of the tracks was J.D.'s Revenge on there. Like I said, I told Terry, I said, I had that CD, and it was a very nice CD. And my question is, why the six-year layoff between albums and everything, you know?
Oh, okay. Now, we get to the real heart of the matter. Where's J.D. been? And a lot of people have been asking that on the Internet. I mean, that has got to be a million-dollar question. I'm going to answer that question, and I'm going to be as open about my answer as I possibly can. I'm going to be totally open with the answer. And for those of you who are listening, you know, things happen. And relationships build And then sometimes some relationships don't survive. You know, the relationship with GRP Records was we went into a relationship that would have been mutually beneficial for everybody. And at that time, I think the Summer Madness record was basically driving force at the record. Mm-hmm. You know, with that, you know, I got to be the artist. And, you know, naturally I expect driving force concessions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm the flagship and you know, and Summer Madness is paying the bills, well, you know, there's certain things that we're going to need so we can continue to maintain that strategy and that posture. Well, you know, we hit impasse, you know, and mm-hmm. labels do this. They will make money and they won't pay the artist.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I just had to say, I decided, look, I got to walk away from this. And I chose to leave GRP. And they didn't necessarily let me go easy, trust me. I mean, it took a considerable amount of time. It took all this time that you're talking about, this big time off, just for me to even get out of that record deal. I mean, you know, at that time, too, you had TLC, they had issues, Toni Braxton had issues, and their normal trend is to force you into some kind of arbitration where everybody can kind of agree and still stay together. But it just was a no-go situation. I mean, I remember sitting down talking to the president of the label at the time. I think he's over the Verve Music Group right now, Tommy La Puma. And I told him that I wanted to produce records. And since I had already produced my record, and they've had success, and this record was top 10 record on Billboard, you know, top of the charts, I felt that I could do this and do it legitimately. But his response to me at that time was, well, this is not important, and you don't need to do that. You know, I took that as him telling me I didn't need to know how to read or write. And he was a producer, and I guess his whole premise was, you know, producers get money for producing records, and they get part of the royalty, the sales of the record. And he wanted to produce my next record, and I just was like, no, I'll do it, because I know what I want my record to sound like.
Mm-hmm.
I felt if it was good enough to get your attention, then whatever I
put
out
there
is going to be still consistent. And so, you know, we parted ways because of that, and parted ways naturally because of the money, which they still owe. You know, that's what the bus about. They still owe it, and I'll never go back over there until they pay it, until they square it away. I'm not saying that we'll never get back together over there with Universal, but until they pay the money, then, you know, I'll look at establishing a relationship with other labels. But with the hiatus, I've been able to, you know, forge my way toward medical school, be a parent. Also, I've produced other artists, a lot of hip-hop artists, a lot of R&B artists, a lot of gospel artists. We got a new artist that I had a wonderful opportunity to work with. And produced her record. She was a Stella Awards, People's Choice Award winner, Princeton Porter Williams. And
Porter Williams, okay.
I'm the driving force behind her new record, which is called New Beginnings. She was traditional, and what I managed to do this time is to take her sound and marry it to a very urban and contemporary sound, which I think you guys are going to really enjoy. You know, the feedback on the record so far is phenomenal, and it is truly unlike anything that's out there.
Okay. Now, I want to get in one more song, one of the two that you sent me earlier, Moments in Love Calls.
Yeah, that was a track I did for a friend of mine. He had this group, called Salam Music, actually. You can actually get that in iTunes. That song, I recorded that song probably 4 years ago and just kind of pulled it out the archives, and I thought it would be something that folks want to listen to. And what's the take on Kim's Moments in Love Calls, but I actually
mm-hmm.
tagged the song with Moments in Love. And I think I said I remember over there to you, too. I think that's the Keisha Cole.
Yes, you did. Yes. Yes. Okay, let's take a listen to Moments in Love Calls. Oh my gosh, Gerald, that is nice. That is so nice.
Thanks a lot.
Wow.
I enjoy doing that song with them. Those guys are actually out of Atlanta in the Groove. Yeah.
Wow. That's the name of the group?
In the Groove.
In the Groove. In the Groove. Okay.
Yeah, you can get that in the iTunes store, as a matter of fact.
Wow. Love that.
They did
I have a couple. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I have a couple of reviews that I have to read about you and your music, and these are from Amazon.com. The first time I heard "For the Love in Your Eyes" was at my son's wedding. Instead of his future wife using traditional wedding march tunes, she had this played as her bridesmaids were escorted down the aisle by the groomsmen. Everyone was so mesmerized by the sound of this beautiful instrumental tune, I think that they forgot that they had actually come to see a wedding. This song was so becoming to their wedding that it made it a more joyous and memorable occasion. Gerald Damien, you can play the violin for me anytime.
Wow.
Another review says, to say that Gerald Damien is good would be an understatement. I followed his career for a while, and he is, in my opinion, the best electrical violinist I have ever heard. Yes, including Mr. Luke Ponte. And he says, no disrespect in parentheses. I recommend.
I'm a Ponte fan.
I recommend this to all jazz purists and lovers of easy listening. And the last one says, this is by far the best jazz CD that I have ever purchased. And I have collected a variety of jazz CDs in my 47 years. I have been listening to this CD for more than 10 years, and I enjoy it each time I play it. The music is timeless, soothing to the soul, and it helps to set a romantic mood.
Now I was talking to my guy does sound for me. The Zane books. I've never read a book by
him. Oh, yes, the Zane book.
And I finally saw who Zane was just a few months ago.
Mm.
Or the author of the Zane books. And she was reading one of those books, and this character in the book, she's reading, she says, yeah, the guy, he's putting on some Gerald Damien to set the mood.
Mm.
And she says, isn't that your friend that plays the part of this guy you were? And he called me up and told me, he said, yeah, man, you're in the Zane book.
I said, wow.
The Zane book. And then I talked to some people I know. They said, you don't know anything about Zane? It's just all the women read Zane.
Yes, so, they do. Yes, all the women, yes, they do. That was too funny.
Well, that is a great compliment to be included in her books. She is a great author.
Doubt. No doubt.
Yeah, great author. Wow. Yeah. Well,
and
you mentioned. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, sir. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you mentioned a new CD, JD R&B.
Yeah, there's two CDs. The JD R&B is kind of something. It's going to be delivered in, I think, four volumes.
Oh, okay.
Volume one has been completed. And it was first socialized and introduced during the Aggie Pride Homecoming. And when we it was very well received. I mean, I think we went down there. Hold on. My son. I know. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, we got some things going on at the house. Okay, I was saying so.
Okay.
Merrick, have a seat. That's my son, Merrick. So, come on, have a seat up here with me, man. So then we got the Matador, which is a piece I've been working on for probably, I would say, 11 years. It's finally come to its culmination, and it's kind of like Yanni meets Dancing with the Stars. The Matador is a musical that features me and Latin dance. So you get to hear Latin music delivered with an urban flavor, with Latin, different Latin dances, the tango, salsa, mambo, and all this. But you got all this energy, and it's very wrapped up in an urban package. But with me showcased as the centerpiece of the body of the work.
Okay.
But I think this piece is going to be something unlike anybody's ever heard. And with the JD R&B, you got some real good jazz elements, but you got a really urban piece. We came together on that one and did the Keisha Cole, I Remember. There's Say Yes by Flower Trees there.
Mm-hmm.
new version of Donnie McClurkin's We Fall Down is there. Remixes to Summer Madness. Live and concert version of You Hit Me Feel Brand New. Robin Thicke's Lost Without You. What else is there? There's a piece that R. Kelly and Biggie did some time ago. That's there. But the JD R&B volume is going to be strictly, like, kind of like my favorite R&B songs that I enjoy playing. Because I listen to a lot of R&B, don't get me wrong. I listen to a lot of classical, too. But but the JD R&B is for the diehard JD heads. And then the, Matador is a series of three pieces, three bodies of work, which you'll be able to get to see me with four orchestra behind me. I think when I was in D.C. last, performed with the United States Air Force Orchestra at Constitution Hall, and they scored the music up from the first record. And I really liked that. I thought that was really hot and happening, and the place was full. And I think the Matador is going to bring a young audience and a new audience back to the concert hall and entertain them in such a way that that you would not believe. I mean, I started to actually send you snippets of that piece. I was like, well, you know. I mean, that would have been, it would have been a lot of different type of music. And I said, well, let's just kind of keep it more in the vein than what people are used to right now. But we're going to have long-form video on that piece. I think the first video for that should go up digitally on the Internet by the end of January. But then we're going to upload the music video for the actual song, Summer Madness. That'll be up next week.
Okay. All right. Well, cool. Well, we have just a little less than a minute left, so I want to thank you for tuning, calling in and joining us today. It has been such a pleasure talking to you, Gerald. Such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
No, thank you for having me. Thank you for supporting me. When you know, I'm going to be shooting you guys over the new material so you can share them with your listeners. And I'm just really looking forward to even enhancing our relationship.
Ditto.
Myself, I think it's definitely going to be mutually beneficial, and I know you guys are going to continue to give your listeners good music.
Yes, definitely, and we look forward to hearing your new music as well. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Oh, you too. I'm going to be working, but so it's okay. We're headed out to Chicago, and then down to Peoria, and then I finally get to go home to Florida.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
Detroit too. So.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thanks again for coming in. We enjoyed having you on the show, and I definitely will be following you on Facebook for sure, and looking forward to the new music.
All right. All right.
All right. You take care.
Okay.
All right. Have a good one.
Bye bye. All right, that was Gerald Damien talking about his current music and talking about Thinking About You. I'm such a fan. And I was so happy that he was able to come on and talk to us. So thanks again to Gerald Damien. All right, Mr. Mike Reynolds, any last words you want to add?
No last words. Like I said, just hope that we can, keep getting artists like this on that the public haven't seen in a while, because the people really miss Gerald and his music. And it would be great for him to, come back out with another CD and, get back in the public eye again.
Exactly. So I'm looking forward to that. All right. Well, next weekend we will not be on. For Thanksgiving weekend, so we will not be on. And we will be back on December 5th with Justin Young. He has two new CDs. Two brand new CDs, Nothing But Love, and a Christmas CD called Home for the Holidays. So we will be back on the air December 5th. Everyone have a happy Thanksgiving, and Mike and I look forward to talking smooth jazz with you then. Have a great day, everyone.